Dr. Brass Sachs. Good morning.
Just two queries, and you know, because I heard they're talking about the asthmatics and stuff like that. Now, I have these two people in my family that who are asthmatic. Before, inhaler used to be the sign of asthmatic. So you know that that person is asthmatic. Now, here you're all saying you have to check a doctor, get some sort of idea, you know what I mean, some paper showing that you are asthmatic if you're driving around, which I find is kind of difficult because at this point in time, you're all saying do not really go to doctors if you don't have to.
Yeah, so you know, that's the case. What's the alternative? You still, what you want is something to verify to whoever it may concern that you are an asthmatic. So what do you advance as the alternative to that then?
I mean, there was the inhaler was always in place.
You so just walk up with an inhaler?
But I mean, at this time, there's 2 weeks lockdown or whatever. You know, you might go a little further. If an asthmatic is caught after that, after this 2 weeks, got to say after now, you must wear the mask, mandatory once you're out in the open. If an asthmatic is out there with a mask on or and he had to take off his mask because he catch an attack or something, breathing-wise, and he don't have a paper because he didn't go to the doctor, because you know there's only certain times you have to go to the doctor because they give the inhaler ways so you don't have to come every month or so check them.
Okay, so let me ask you something. If you were put in charge of this particular matter and you saw a man without his mask and he told you, or a woman for that matter, they told you that they were asthmatic, how would you assess whether they were telling you the truth or not?
Because once you have his inhaler and you have the prescription box, these are things that, I mean, you're going to have to look at. Because then the asthmatic should walk with his inhaler every day and his prescription box. Because there's no way you can get to a doctor in time, in this sort of time where everybody can be rushing, to get a tag or some sort of paper to show the people in charge that you are.
Right. So let me say to you that ultimately the person who is making the decision will have to exercise discretion in determining whether they have enough proof that that person is asthmatic. And that proof can be had by way of the letter from a doctor. It could be had by way of the proof that you have just spoken about. And another very obvious one is if somebody has difficulty breathing.
But that's what
I'm
saying.
Because they're wearing a mask.
That's what I'm trying to get at. I mean, all you have to do is then make it mandatory mostly for people to even walk with their ID cards, which they're supposed to do in any case, walk with ID cards every day. You know what I mean? And one other thing that, because I hear you all talking about community spread, and most of the times I hear people putting the blame on the young people in the community, people on the block and stuff like that. So, but I look at it in other views, right? A broader perspective. I look at it this way. Sometimes you must remember, you got doctors, lawyers, nurses, police officers, fire officers, postmen. These are people that are working every day on the front line. Now, at the end of the day, they leave work and come home to their families. I feel that if they're out there working every day like that, they're either going to stay or sleep at the stations, at the hospital, wherever. They provide bed and places for them to rest. And they spend their week there. And on weekends, they go through the same test that we have to go through. And then you get them clear, and they come home. But if they're coming home every day, who say that they are the ones who are bringing it into the communities?
Well, I think that we passed that stage a long time ago.
Yeah, but
let's accept where we are right now. Okay. Let's understand the full implications of what we are going through in this term community spread. So much so that we are now on the verge of a lockdown. And I must tell you that there are people who are doctors and stuff who question why it has taken us so long, because with the kind of variant that we have out there, it is considered urgent that we lock down this place. As negative as it is for business, the public health concern is big and deep. So that's why we need to hasten towards the lockdown concept for the time being. Look, I was reading a piece just last evening out of the BBC. They were looking at the situation in Australia. In Australia, they had a case of the variant. For one case of the variant, they locked down and now are coming out of lockdown in a specific, over a specific geographic area. Because they took the variant very seriously. In Barbados, we say that we had three. That's what we say. And in those circumstances, we haven't locked down yet. So the potential for this variant to spread rapidly and widely is real, based on all that is being said about it by the experts. So that's why we have to be exceedingly cautious now out there.
Okay. Well, for me, I understand everything you said. And I understand, yes, there's a need for locking down and stuff like that. But in the need for locking down and people get into sitting in rooms and they talk over the country's business under lock and key and then come and put it out there, they invite a certain amount of people to, you know, join and take X amount of calls. But the calls that are really relevant and the calls that should be heard, they're
such
not
as,
being...
Such
I
as?
I mean, there's a lot of calls that should be heard because, I mean, there are people out there who have questions. But every time that you know, they put up questions, the questions aren't being answered. And when they do...
Like what questions?
Give
like
answer,
like what? So
all around them.
No. You know, I don't like that general kind of charge and stuff. I prefer to have something specific that we can point to.
If I come out and bring certain questions on the radio, now, I might get shut off. So I wouldn't even go that far. I would
No. You can't do that. That is not fair to me nor the people who listen to the program. You got to be able to say, look, I can point to this specific instance to back up what I am saying. That this particular question was asked, and it remains outstanding. Is there anything that you can point to later?
There's a lot of questions that were asked. As I say, I am not going to go back into them because yes, the callers were shut down because you know you and Mr. Wickham said they were going in the wrong direction. So I'm not going there for you to tell me now as a first caller. I'm going in the wrong direction as well.
I already told you that you're in the wrong direction. You're already in the wrong direction if you're going to make the charge. I have nothing to back it up with.
Okay.
And when I back it up, you're retreating further and further. So, you know, nobody is going to be able to say, well, you're right or you're wrong when you're not able to say, well, this is...
Let me read here for a minute. I asked a question earlier about the people who I suspect are bringing having the community spread even wider, right? And you said to me, well, you know what? We already get there already. We passed that. That's all you said to me there. We're looking at other variants and stuff like that. That's what you said to me, right? You didn't say that, okay, yes, we could look at the situation of keeping the police in barracks for a week, and then after the time to work, you get tested, you get clearance, you come home to your family, then you go back to work after 2 or 3 days. You know what I mean? Because that is going to be a lot of dialogue in between there. You know what I mean? You just shut that down as well.
I shut it down. I will shut it down for this reason. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is far bigger than the police. It is widespread. If you listen to what was said by the Minister of Health, he said it is in every part of Barbados, every parish. So for you to embark upon this program of locking down people here and locking down people, you will have enough space, my friend. Based on what is happening, as I understand it, all I know, the Harrison's Point and the Blackmon Gollop have been getting a steady flow of people. So in those circumstances, so if a person works in a villa in Barbados, you will tell them don't go home, you're gonna lock them down in the villa. Is that
Sleeping for the week that they're working, and then after going home on
sleeping?
weekends, they do the test the Thursday, and
Well,
they get.
I think what your perspective on this is influenced by what you see as the magnitude of the problem. My perspective on it is that it's much bigger than what you are playing, how you're playing this up. I don't think that it is going to be easy to do that.
All
I
right,
don't think
but
so.
anyhow, the part about the asthmatics and stuff like that, I would like to see if that could go any further than where, a little further than where I just asked you about it, and see if, you know what I mean, they can find some way of getting those people an easier time when they're out there, because people in authority do not look at, you know, sometimes they just see you without a mask, they start to hold you, rush you, pull you around because of how you look and how you appear at the time. You know? So that's all at least I would
Well,
like to see, you know what I mean, clear.
part of that implies that if you know that people make an assessment of you or stereotype you
Yeah,
based upon
we
how
judge.
you look, then you also have to bear that in mind and how you carry yourself too. All right. All right. This
Okay.
question, this person raises a point here. It says, I've been receiving quite a few inquiries about the wording. Five of the individuals are persons who were previously sent to the Harrison Point isolation facility for assessment. They wish to know what does that statement mean? Can anyone shed any light on that part of the communique for me, says the writer. It is a question that I've been asking myself. I really think it needs explanation. When you say that people who have now tested positive were people who went for assessment at the Harrison's Point facility. Down to brass tacks, hello. Welcome to the program.
Morning.
Yes, morning.
Morning. Davis,
Yes,
morning.
good morning. Hi, how are you?
Now, let me declare myself very clear first. My name is Victor Young. I
Yes,
believe you're
sir.
familiar with that name. Now,
No.
let me, yeah. No, I belong to neither party. I support none of them. The point I'm saying here, when you hear those political beneficiaries telling you how to do your job when you're trying to get into certain things that nobody is giving an answer, don't let them make you no idiot. You know what you're doing. Don't let none of them come and tell you how to do your job, because most of them that, as you criticize this particular party or any of the parties, they've got their beneficiaries who come and want to tell people how to do their job. And all of them need to be questioned, because there are a lot of answers that they're not giving to people and that kind of thing. So don't let none of them come and tell you how to do your job. Do your job because you know how to do your job. As you got to dive in to anything that the people think will affect where they're belonging to, which party or whoever they belong to, they will come and want to criticize you and tell you they expect more of you, and then turn around, they don't expect anything more of you and all that kind of stupidness.
It
Don't allow them
is
to do it.
quite a contradiction, I must say.
Hello?
Quite a
Hello?
contradiction. I
When you
said
say,
that's quite a contradiction from her.
yes,
What?
because the point is that, you know, they still belong to something, and some of them that belong to these parties, they're not blind, but really blind, really. They're blind because they cannot see anything that is wrong. When you belong to something and you can't call wrong from right, it means you're blind, but you're blind not from the Almighty. You're blind because you do not want to tell the person you're doing wrong or you're not doing that, because they don't want to offend the body.
And I always tell people I can offend anybody because I depend on no politician. They've never done anything to me. I've worked in all organizations, and they've never done anything. No, I never looked to them for anything. So I can speak freely. All they do, the closest time I am with them, is when they're delivering the senior games trophy. For me, it's the outstanding trophy. And even then, I'm uncomfortable. Anyhow,
right,
you have a good day and do your job. Don't let nobody tell you how to do your job. You've been in it long enough. You're the fellow who don't come to town.
Right. Thanks very much for your support. But let me just make the point here, because I got to bear in mind, we have so many different opinions and different approaches to problems that we have. No, you're not going to get everybody to agree on anything. And this issue here with lockdown or not to lockdown is a fine example of it. Very strong arguments on both sides. What are we searching for here? At the end of all of this, you have a pandemic. You have a crisis on your hands. It is not for us to be hammering people for the sake thereof. But at times you have to ask people to come out and, you know, assist the rest of this community in understanding the dynamics of the issues that we face. And sometimes you may not have the immediate solution, but just having that dialogue with other people can also produce other ideas as well. We don't know all that goes on behind the scenes. I think when we get to a certain stage with or past this pandemic, I think we will have ample information and stuff to assess how our country is being run. What are the strengths and the weaknesses of the leadership of the country? But at this particular point, the most important issue here is protecting the people of Barbados and their livelihoods. And that's what we're searching for. As much as possible, what is the truth? The truth remains important in dealing with this problem here. Because if people believe that we do not have as big a problem as we really do, they are going to continue to let their guards down. And perhaps I see the discussion about the how we deal with it from time to time, taking this structured approach, and there's a necessity for some of that, right? But I think that to a large extent, the authorities are faced with the same problem I have with brass tacks, which is that I could come in here a day and start to talk about the moon and the sun. And the first caller is not interested in the moon and the sun. They're interested in other stuff. And therefore, if you come to the people and you lock down every element of your presentation on an afternoon or an evening, and you don't touch the nerve of what people really want you to talk about, they turn off the TV and they walk away. They say disappointed. You ain't talking about things that I want you to talk about. So you got to be very careful about that. And I, for what it's worth, I suggest that, you know, you leave some element to that, especially the first part of it should be freewheeling. You also got to be careful that you don't try to put too much information of a general nature and an advisory nature into those discussions, rather than taking them out and putting them elsewhere, you know, because you're not going to be able to satisfy all of that in a one-off. Those are things that need to be you reinforced. You got to spread them out. You got to repeat them so that they stick with people. So I've seen a little bit of that shift, and I think from what I'm seeing, that's what I would suggest. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. It's now 10:43. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling to share an experience I had when I went to a polyclinic to have a COVID-19 test. I went as a tertiary contact. And what I want to say first, though, is, you know, I want to bring to mind the protocols that we have to observe when we go to banks, to supermarkets, to offices, whatever, across the nation, in the bank, they worked on a glass that is between you and the teller. You're speaking against the glass, that's worked on all kinds of protocols. So as a tertiary contact event, you have to go around to the back of the building and wait there, try to speak to whoever through a big wrought iron gate. No problem. That's not the issue. However, you waited there, most of us, for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, nothing. No test, no communication, nothing. You're checking in every minute to see what's happening. After waiting there, then a nurse comes around, after waiting all those hours, to a little room the size of a bathroom cubicle at the back of the polyclinic. And they begin to call people, and I noticed that the person who's going to be right in front of me, that she said will go right in front of me, looks really ill. I'm not ill. The dependents who are with me are not ill. As I said, we're going to tertiary contact. So the person who went in before me, I heard coughing and sneezing in the room. And as soon as that person saw, I'm told to go in. And I say, don't y'all sanitize between testing, but, you know, spray alcohol, spray something in the air between testing. And I was told, go in. When I went in, I still have my mask on. My dependents have their mask on. I asked the doctor, don't you sanitize between testings? And the doctor responded to say, I am the person most at risk here. And I said, I feel at risk, more at risk now than when I left home, because I'm stepping into a room. I didn't see any sanitizing. To my mind, there wasn't even time enough for the doctor to change his gloves. There's no sanitizing that took place, of sanitizing of the air. There's not a switching of one room. I use this room, the person uses the next room while that room is airing or being sanitized. Nothing like that. And I said, well, to the doctor, well, I feel more at risk now than when I left home, because now I have to pull my mask down to be tested in a room where some person to me just contaminated the air. So he proceeded on without any regard to what he was saying, just wanted to know who is being tested first. You know, and that experience to me was horrible, because if we have to do all of these protocols when we are in public, now that you've gone to a testing site, where somebody there, some percentage of the people there are likely to have COVID, everybody did not come as a tertiary contact. Some people were there obviously because they were feeling ill. Somebody there is likely to have COVID, and there's no sanitizing between testing, at least not in my experience. And when I spoke to the gentleman who went in after me, there was none between my testing or his testing either. So I am really concerned. And after I came home and I had a measure of concern and this on my mind for a while, because now I feel more compromised, I called the COVID hotline. Get a professional opinion as to whether or not I may have been compromised. You know, suppose that person in front of me had COVID, what are my chances now if I didn't have it of getting it? You know, and you have your theories, you ask yourself the question, is it a case where when someone goes to be tested, their first test comes back negative? Is it a case that they could have picked up something at the testing site and that's why the second one comes back positive? You know, that's just a question. However, when I called the hotline, I became more unsettled, because the nurse auxiliary that spoke to me became defensive and aggressive. And I know them to sanitize. So I bid her goodnight. And what disturbed me most was her ability, without me giving her my number, to call back my house. She called my house back. I mean, she used the caller ID that she at the hotline to get my number and call back my home. That disturbed me, because I don't think that if I'm...
To tell you what?
To tell me that she has passed on the information to the relevant authorities. And I asked her, how could she pass on information which she did not acquire? Because she cuts off my every sentence with some type of defense or some aggressive statement to my mind. So what information have you really obtained from me to pass on? So in that conversation, you know, I heard the aggressive tone from him. I said to her, I could have called the nation, I could have called anybody, but I chose to call the hotline for a professional opinion. And I didn't feel as though I was getting one. I told her, if you did not have a professional opinion to give me as a nurse auxiliary, you could have told me that you would seek one and get back to me and take my contact information. But you're calling back my house without me giving you contact information. And that disturbed me. It means that there's no privacy when you call the COVID hotline. So I am disturbed by the experience, the total experience. I feel compromised. I feel compromised by the testing procedure, what happened at the health facility. I feel violated, my privacy is violated by her return call. And I'm totally disappointed with this experience. And I just feel that the nation needs to know, you know, maybe on hindsight 2020, maybe I should have insisted that I'm not going in the room until the air was sanitized, until there was a chance, because the room in the first place was poorly ventilated. So I should have insisted that I'm not going in the room. However, I went into the room because I'd been waiting for more than 4 hours. And there are people who have been waiting for more than me, because in the first place, when I, after waiting about three and a half hours, and I went to the Roth Island gate to speak to a nurse, I said, so what's happening now? Because I've been waiting. She said, you just have to wait. I said, well, I've been waiting for more than 3 hours. And she calmly said to me, and I'm sure there are people out there who've been waiting longer than you. And this is a real disappointment when you have to come to a facility where a test takes 30 seconds. I would think that you want to get those people who have possible exposure in and out of the facility. I mean, we are at the back waiting under a tank. But still, the whole process was disappointing. And I just think that the nation needs to know of this experience. One, somehow the authorities need to deal with this kind of thing. There should never be a case where I feel more compromised when I leave a testing facility than when I first went.
Ma'am, I want to say to you that I agree with you 100% that the nation should be told about this kind of experience. This is the kind of behavior that has the potential to help spread this virus in this country. And as you correctly said, when people go to certain places in Barbados at this time, they are going with the expectation that they will be made better. They don't want to go into an environment where they feel as though they could have been exposed to the virus because of the protocols that have not been followed in that place. And I really believe that at every level, this is not only about the public sector, because someone I know sent me a text last night, indicated to me, surprisingly, I was surprised at the time, that they have tested positive and they were in Black Mungallup Center. There are some parts of this I will share with you. I can't share all, but what I can share, I will. They went on to say that they were in there, and they said, I've tested positive for COVID. I'm at Black Mungallup. It's not the right place for any human being to be quarantined at, far less for babies. No warm water to bathe with. There's cowhage flourishing. About 4 showers for the residents and kiddie toilets to use. An empty plastic drink bottle was improvising as a shower faucet, said the person. They took a picture of it and sent it to me as well. See for yourself. But they said the worst is the maturing cowhage.